Our Father and our God, we thank you. We give you glory and praise, even at such a time. We honor you, Lord, for all of your kindness, your goodness towards us, and your mercy. Great is thy faithfulness, O God. And we thank you because such great faithfulness is too high for us. Your love is too high for us even to comprehend. But we thank you. We rejoice in it this morning. Glory to God. We say, blessed be the glory of the Lord in the name of Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And blessed be the beauty of the Lord. Thank you, Father. We give you all praise and give you all glory. And this morning, we thank you for the entrance of your word brings light. And let that understanding, revelation knowledge, come into our hearts, position us for a greater and a closer walk with God. Glory to God. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let's consider a short exhortation this morning concerning this topic of God's ways and thoughts are higher than yours. That's right. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and his ways are not even our ways. Now let's consider a few stories in the Bible that will help us to remember this thing. You know, that the way the Lord functions, it's not always the way that we think. So the Lord would have us remember these things. Praise the Lord. In the book of Isaiah, the Lord tells us that his ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. As the heavens are high above the earth, so far and higher are his thoughts than ours. So let's read it together. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. You know, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. Isaiah 55 and verse 8. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours. Hallelujah. And my thoughts than your thoughts. So the Lord is saying that his ways are higher than our ways, and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Our thoughts are not always his thoughts. Our ways are not always his ways. You know, and as we go through this journey of life, remember that your own journey through life is unique. It's a unique experience. You know, but while you go through every day, let's remember that his thoughts are not our thoughts, not necessarily, unless you bring your thoughts into alignment with the word of God. You know, but his ways are usually much higher than ours. In other words, we may be thinking one way, but the Lord is going to bring it to pass a much different way. Many times it happens. Let's consider a few short stories here in the Bible. You know, in the book of 2 Kings, chapter 5, we see the story of a man called Naaman. You know, he was, perhaps chief of army staff, you know, of Syria or whatever. You know, and stricken with leprosy, they heard that there was a prophet in Israel that can heal. You know, so, you know, the king at first, they sent to the king of Israel at first, the king of Syria did, and the king of Israel rented his clothes and said, look at how this man is looking to find fault with me. Why is he sending this leprous man to me? Can I heal? Of course, my goodness, Elisha, he heard of it. He said, why did the king rent his clothes? And when they told him, he said, look, send the man over here, and he'll know that there is a prophet, praise God, a prophet in the land, a prophet of the Lord. Now, that was a man that knew, you know, how he functioned in the realm of the things of God, you know. So now, when he came, finally, to the man of God, that's Naaman, the captain, Elisha, here's what happened. So Naaman, let's read the story. You can read verses 1 to 15 of 2 Kings chapter 5, but I'm only going to pick it up from, you know, verse 9. So Naaman came with his horses and his chariot, hallelujah, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth, and went away and said, behold, I thought. See, his thoughts were different. I thought he would surely come out here and stand here and call upon the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. I thought he's going to come out here and shout and, you know, lay hands on me and do this and do the other thing. I mean, I thought he was going to do this thing. He's telling me to go and wash, you know, in some place. Are there not, you know, rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? You know, should I not wash in them and be clean? I mean, have I not washed many times and I'm not clean? And he went away furious and in a rage, we are told. Well, because he thought the man ought to come out here, call upon his name of the Lord, you know, shout the victory or something, lay hands on me or whatever, prophesy over me or something. You know, I mean, these are his thoughts. And then his servants came to him and said, look, you know, why are you angry for no reason? You know, if the man would have told you, suppose the prophet came here and told you to do some great thing, wouldn't you have done it? Praise the Lord for that wisdom from the servant. Wouldn't you have done it? And he said, well, but now because he tells you to do something that apparently looks silly, you're going away and you're not going to do it. All he said was go and wash and clean. They ask you to do any great thing. Because the man came with horses, with things and gifts and so forth, and he wanted to do all of that. You know, give and pay and do anything great to get his healing. And the man of God simply gave a few instructions. Go and wash in Jordan, not anywhere else, but in Jordan, and you will be clean. But do it 7 times. So, but the man, he said, well, you know, I'm not going to do it. But after the, you know, his servants persuaded him, he said, well, they told him, look, what you got to lose? So he went and he did it. And when he did, my goodness, the mercy of the Lord and the word of his messenger, the servant of the Lord, came to pass. And the man, his flesh came as a little child again. All the leprosy was washed away. In the presence of both himself and his servants, everybody saw it. I'm like, my goodness. So he went back, of course, to try to give the prophet some gifts. And then the rest of the story, I won't get into that part. But see, the thing in this story was he expected one way. In fact, he said, my thought. I had thought he was going to do this. Well, sometimes we are like that too. We think this is the way the Lord is going to do it. You know, but that may not be the way the Lord wants to do it. And then we've got to, in this journey with God, we've got to recognize that the Lord's ways are higher than ours, and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. As the heaven is higher above the earth, so are his thoughts than ours, and his ways than ours. And what you may be thinking may not be the way the Lord's going to do it. There's another story in John chapter 5, and I love that one as well. You know, the story of the man with the infirmity, I mean, the, you know, 38 years he had that, and they camped out at certain seasons of the year waiting for the moving of the pool. When the angel would come down, it would stir that pool, whoever then first got in was healed of whatever disease he had. That's what the scripture said. So this man, along with others, were waiting. That's what he said. He said there, you know, was a great multitude John chapter 5, verse 3. There was a great multitude of impotent folk, blind, halt, withered, etc., waiting for the moving of the water. Because an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. So likewise there was this certain man there, which had an infirmity 38 years. And he was there also, like everybody else, waiting for the moving of the water. For he thought in his heart, if I can just but get in when the water is stirred up, I will be healed. Well, he along with so many others. But Jesus, he came and saw the man and asked him a question. Will thou be made whole? the man is thinking, he said, what kind of question is that? We're all waiting here, for the moving of the water. And I'm hoping that, I'll get in ahead of it. Every time I've tried it, I can't get in. Of course, I want to be healed, but I'm not quick enough. I've been coming, but I'm not quick enough. Somebody always gets in ahead of me, I miss my healing that way. Because, it's only one person that could be healed. The first one. And gets in after the stirring of the water. And so his thoughts, his focus was on the water, was on the moving of the water, was on the stirring of it, and so forth. That's where his healing was coming from, he thought. But Jesus, when he came upon the scene, Jesus said basically to him, well, forget about the water, forget about the angel, I'm right here. Because it's not always the way we think that God is going to do it or bring that miracle. That's not necessarily how he's going to do it. In the case of Naaman, we saw that because he thought otherwise. In the case of this man, he believing for a miracle from some signs and wonders they've seen before. Every time they saw that miraculous stirring of the water, they would probably see this powering down of some cloud, the angel come down, perform like that, stir up the water and go up again, and everybody will rush. And that's how they got healed. And one person, though. And everybody else went home, come back the next time. So, well, maybe I'll be my turn. Maybe it'll be my turn. But Jesus said, today, I'm going to do it a different way. Praise the Lord. So his thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. And the things that we think, those are not necessarily the way that God's going to do whatever it is that he's going to do. Here's another story for us. There's a story in Judges chapter 7. You can read the first 7 verses. In this story, this is about Gideon. Now, by this time, Gideon has figured out the voice of the Lord. Initially, he didn't figure it out. But now he has figured it out. And so the Lord will speak to him. And he said, well, these Midianites and all these people that have been troubling them, Gideon is going to God. The Lord told him, I'm going to use this, your fire that is inside of you. Because he challenged the angel of the Lord that spoke to him. The angel of the Lord came and said, hail and greetings at such a time. And he said, thou mighty man of valor, the Lord is with you and all of that. And the man said, mighty man of valor, I'm hiding here. Midianites are oppressing us. Every time I need to thresh my wheat, I've got to do it in a corner because they'll come in and they'll take everything from us and bully us and so on. And you say the Lord is with us. Where is the Lord with us? If the Lord be with us, where be all those miracles which we have heard? And this man, he challenged the status quo. I love it when people do that. This man would not settle for the status quo because somebody came and gave him salutations that, hey, you're a mighty man, things are good. Said, no, what I see doesn't look like that. I want to see God's deliverances. I want to see God command deliverances for Israel, for Jacob, and all these things. I want to see, instead of us hiding here from our enemies, let the Lord show up. So don't call me mighty man of God. And they just said, wow, I love that fire in your spirit. I'm going to use that. I can use that too. And of course, you know, some exchanges went on between the angel of the Lord and Gideon, trying to figure out if it was indeed the Lord. You might remember the story of this fleece. You know, let me put the fleece over here and let, you know, only the fleece be wet and all the ground around it be dry. Then I will know that the Lord wants me to do this thing. Well, of course, the Lord did it. And he got up there that day and he looked at it and said, wow. You know, say, okay, well, let's try something else. Let's make it more difficult. Because, you know, it's possible that the fleece had soaked up the water around it. Okay, so let's do it more difficult. You know, let all the ground around it be soaking wet. And let the fleece be dry. Let the fleece be dry in the midst of soaking wet water. Then I'll know it was the Lord. Well, then the Lord did it. And the Lord was patient with him. So finally he figured out how the Lord was going to lead him and guide him. So the Lord sent him and gave him instruction. You know, and he will gather the people and he's going to go out and deliver, you know, Israel from the hand of the Midianites. He now trusts that the Lord's going to give him the victory. So, you know, gathers the people and they gathered, you know, he stirred up himself, gathered the people. But, you know, he gathered too many of them. They started out with 32,000. And the Lord said, no. So let's pick up this story here, you know, and the Lord gave it to him. The people that are with thee, he said, are too many. Judges chapter 7 and verse 2. For me to give the Midianites into their hands. Because if I did it that way, Israel would think, they would vaunt up themselves against me and think that their own hand had saved them. The Lord said they'd do that. You know, so they are too many. See, now, Gideon thought about, you know, he could get the victory by the number of people he had. And the Lord said, no, my ways are different. You know, I don't need 32,000, you know, because if they go out in those numbers, they would think that it was because of their own power or their own strength that they did it. So the Lord began to prune down the people, you know, and he told them, say, look, anyone that's afraid and fearful, let him return, you know, and so forth. And, you know, out of them returned 22,000. Can you imagine? Now, there's a story in that itself. You know, I mean, we can preach on that for another 30 minutes just by itself. I mean, people joined themselves into the army and they, you know, they heard people that were enlightened by, you know, their neighbors and things like that, encouraged and so forth. That, look, we got to get in. We got to fight. If we don't fight, you know, we're going to be subject to these Midianites all the time. You know, but there were a lot of them, even though they joined somehow, that they were still afraid in their hearts. They really didn't have the confidence that God was, you know, that they could get a victory. You know, so, but they were there anyhow. And they would have been a mixed multitude. You see, when you have that kind of crowd going, you know, they might be more dangerous to you than, you know, helping you to fight your cause. Because they don't believe anything there. They're fearful. They're afraid anyway. And they are going to weaken the hands of their brethren eventually to say, look, we can't do that. We can't win against these people. You know, so the Lord told, look, send the first set of people that you are going to send away are those who are fearful and afraid. You know, because the Lord can't deal with that. He cannot use the fearful and the afraid. He can't do it. You know, so let us be, you know, cognizant of that. That's why the Lord always said to them, when he came to Joshua, he said, told him, you know, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed. He told Joshua, I mean, Jeremiah, the same thing. Don't be worried about their faces. You know, don't be afraid. He told Isaiah, fear not, I am with thee. The Lord, I will strengthen thee. I mean, always saying, fear not, be not afraid, fear not. So the Lord needed to get that fear out of there because it would weaken the hands of all the others. Just like those spies that went to spy out the land, the 10 of them weakened the minds of the people by saying, we can't do that. You know, we're too small. We can't win against those giants. I mean, we're like grasshoppers and the land is swallowing everything up. These people will finish us. You know, and they weakened the hands of the people. So the Lord said to Gideon, send them away, anyone who's fearful and afraid. So he made the announcement. This battle is going to be tough. Are you all in? You may die in this battle or whatever, you know, so count the cost. 22,000 out of the 32,000 immediately returned home. Because they were afraid. Well, the Lord was better off with getting rid of those that will create fear. And you are better off too, you know, detaching yourself from the people that are unbelieving and fearful and that say, you can't do that. You know, you can't do that. That's not going to work. Get away from them, you know. And then the Lord gave him additional instructions and said, well, yeah, 10,000 remain. And the Lord said, well, there's still too many. You know, so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do you a test. You know, bring them over here and do this. And then bring them to the water and let them drink. And, you know, everyone that laps of the water with his tongue like a dog laps, set him by himself. The other one that bowed down to his knees, set him by themselves. You know, and so forth. And after he looked at it, there were only 300 men, you know, that put their hand to their mouth to drink. They didn't bow their head down to the water to drink. Now, the ones that bowed their head down to the water, they disqualified themselves because they were not even battle ready. You're battle ready. What are you going to go bow down your heads to the water for? You lose your attention. You lose your guard. Let down your guard. Someone's going to come. You know, but these others, they were aware. They only, you know, they didn't lose this sight of their surroundings. They just used the hand to put the water to their mouth. In the meantime, they're still looking around. You know, so they are sharp. And they're not going to bend down under the pressure. You know, and so the Lord said, yeah, those 300, that's good. Set them on one side. They're good enough. And the crowd that started with 32,000 eventually thinned down to 300. That's less than even, you know, 1% of the thing, you know. So, I mean, they just trimmed down. You know, it's like, I mean, from 32,000 all the way to 300. Wow. If there was 1% of that, would even have been, you know, 320 maybe, you know, but they couldn't even do it. God said there are too many. So the way that God was thinking and what God wanted to do was different than the way even Gideon was thinking. So God's thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. Well, let's think of how others put it. You know, there are some other people that actually understood this. You know, they understood it. Jonathan was a man, you know, he was kind of an upcoming man at the time, but he understood this. He understood that, look, the way that the Lord works is not necessarily the way that we think. See, he understood it. And so let's pick up this story in 1 Samuel chapter 14. You know, now, again, you know, Israel was always in one kind of war or the other. See that the Midianites, you see that the Philistines, you see that this and that. You know, this time around it was the Philistines. You know, so, and, you know, Jonathan wanted to go over to the garrison of the Philistines, and he thought within himself that, well, I got to do something. You know, I mean, these people are camping against us all the time, threatening us, cutting off our water supply and so forth. You know, somebody's going to do something. Nobody's ready to do anything. So he said, I'm going to do it. You know, so he took his armor bearer, said, look, let's go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised. You know, and said, look, let's just go and spy over on them. Now, there were many, and they, you know, they created fear in the heart of Israel. But Jonathan, he understood something. And here's what he said in 1 Samuel 14 and 6. Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, come and let us go over unto the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for there is no restraint to the Lord. saved by many or by few. Now, in his mind, he now understands that, look, we may be only two of us. And there may be thousands of those people. It doesn't make any difference to the Lord at all. He can save by many. He can save by few because his ways are not our ways. The way the Lord does it, the way the Lord engages in the battle, is not the way that we think. We always think that we have to amass more. Look, if your enemy has, 100 troops, then you get 200. And then you think that you win, because of that. And so, in the world today, it's the same kind of thing. The weaker nations, something like that, we've had presidents in the United States that believed in, having a bigger stick. If your enemy, gets, something, you get bigger a weapon, and they believe that some of them did in the past that, look, that's how, you avoid war. You come from a position of strength. If they, any weapon they develop, you develop something stronger, and then they'll be afraid of you. And so everybody always, depended on the arm, the power, the arm of the strength of the arm and so forth. The more numbers we have, our armies, are the strongest. The United States, they like to pride themselves on the fact that, their military and so forth, they think it's the strongest because they have numbers and so forth, and they try to believe that, all their armed forces, the best in the world, So, but look, here is the, it's not always like that all the time. But if you understand it, that look, the Lord can save whether with many or with few, it makes the Lord no difference at all. That was what Jonathan was saying, because the ways of the Lord are different. Listen to Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 11. The race is not to the swift. Well, this is what the Lord can, mix things up, stir things up, people are thinking, when you get in a race, I know that the race is to the swift. Because when I was a young man, I was a sprinter, and you need to be the fastest, just have to be the fastest, so when doing those sprints, you have to be the fastest. You have to be quick in getting out of the blocks. You have to be the fastest. You have to accelerate through the race and be the first to cross the line. That's how we win, so the race in my mind, when I was a young man, was always, had to be to the swift. the battle is not necessarily to the strong. Well, people always think otherwise. They think in their strength. Like Goliath was a big man. Above all the people, stronger than everybody. David couldn't even carry hold his spear. his spear. The massive size of this man alone terrorized everybody. And he bullied everybody with that, his massive size, because that he thought that's the way he's going to win the battle. But David got in there. David was another man that also understood that, look, just because you are big and giant and strong and everything, that doesn't mean anything. he said, look, the lion was stronger than me. The bear was a whole lot stronger and bigger than me, but they did not prevail against me because the Lord was with me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So some of these people occasionally, they understood that the ways of the Lord are different, and the ways of, our minds and our thoughts and so forth. There are a few other kings that understood that, and said, look, these people are much stronger than us, but we're not going to worry about that, because their strength is in their trust, but with us is the living God. A few of these people, they thought that, they understood it, but not everybody understood that. Many times, people thought that they are going to win by the numbers, but that's not how it worked all the time. The Lord, you know, the Bible actually says that God can take, you know, the base things of this earth to confound the wise and the strong. You know, so let me read to you one or two verses out of Second Chronicles chapter 32. And interesting story as well. But here is another king that understood that, look, it's not always, you know, by your natural strength or numbers and so forth. You know, that's not how it works. You know, so you might know the story of Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came and encamped against Israel and so forth. And Hezekiah was king at the time, and all the things that, you know, Sennacherib came to chide them and to tell them different things, you know, that, you know, we're going to destroy you like we destroyed everybody else. And they were a very large army. But here's what, you know, here's what Hezekiah said to the people: be strong and courageous. Be not afraid, nor be dismayed of the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that we see, that is with him. You know, but there be more than with us than with him. Well, you know, so with him, the reason he said more with us than with him is not because they were actually more in number. He understood a principle. He said, with him is an arm of flesh. But with the Lord, I mean, with us is the Lord, our God, to help us and to fight our battles. You know, so he's saying that, look, God is with us. And he that is in us is greater than they that are out there. I mean, so people understood that. Some of these people understood it. Many people don't understand it. You know, Elisha and his servant. One time they were surrounded by armies and different things. The servant went out and said, we're surrounded by armies. You know, what shall we do? Where shall we escape to? And the other man, the prophet said, well, don't worry about it. You know, God's ways are not our ways. These people come out here with all kinds of things, but, you know, we have our own secret. You know, more with us than they're with them. The man said, I don't know what you've been drinking or something. I don't see anybody here but these armies that surround us. And the man said, well, the prophet said, okay, well, Lord, open his eyes. Let him see and understand that the way that you fight battles is different than the way he's thinking. And when the Lord opened his eyes, behold, he saw chariots of fire, who were at first invisible to the natural eye. And so they are there. So, you know, you're looking from the natural standpoint, you think that you are outnumbered. But the Lord is saying, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even your faith. You know, whosoever is born of God, you know, it doesn't matter who come out against you. You know, you can read that your victory overcomes the world in 1 John 5:4, and so on. And even the psalmist, he understood that. He said, look, these nations, they surround me like bees. But in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them all. So he understood that the way that God gets him the victory is not always the numbers. Now, there are a few things, you know, that even the Lord says to us, even in spiritual things. His ways are not our ways. In the book of Titus, let's read something there that will instruct us that his ways are not our ways. Praise the Lord. Here's what he said. You know, he said, for we ourselves were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived. Titus chapter 3, I'm reading from verse 3. Serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice, envy, hateful, hating one another. We were, you know, carried away to dumb idols and all these, you know, works of evil that were in our hearts. But after the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward men appeared. You know, the Lord changed our lives. But how did he do it? Not by works of righteousness, which we have done. Well, in people's minds, it's all by works of righteousness, you know. But it was according to his mercies that he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Now, in the olden days, it was all by their works of righteousness. That's how they taught. That's how they thought that God was going to do it. And that's how they were even taught by their, you know, leaders and so forth. So, you know, you have to do this, obey the law, do this and do that, and don't do the other, and don't do the other. But Paul wrote about it, he said, look, Israel was going about this, trying to win the mercy of God by their own righteousness, but they could not attain unto it. But the Gentiles that sought not the righteousness of God have attained unto it. Because God's ways are not our ways. So in John chapter 8, the people, the religious leaders of that day, you know, what did they do? Well, they brought unto Christ a woman that was caught in adultery in the very act. They set her in the middle. And they said, well, Moses commanded us to stone this person. So what do you say? And the Lord said, well, let the one that is first without sin among you, let them cast the first stone. And I'd love to say today again, in the religious circles, that look, let the one that is first, let the one that is without sin, let them cast the first stone. You know, sometimes we're quick to condemn. And many leaders, we lack empathy and compassion and so forth for, you know, the weary and the weak and those that are torn and worn out of, you know, struggles with the flesh and this, you know, sin and so on. And sometimes we don't have compassion. And we would rather stone them to death. But Jesus' ways are not our ways. And they say, well, you know, Moses commanded us to stone this woman. But what do you say? And the Lord will have them know that, look, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. You know, the Lord's, you know, mercy and compassion, you know, brought grace to that woman who was condemned to die, you know. And the Lord, he set her free and said, well, go and do it no more. What about, you know, the thief on the cross? He was already condemned to die. He was already crucified. He was bleeding out to death already, you know. And everybody looking at that man right there, everybody knew that he was going straight to hell. There was just no way out because he's already condemned anyway. With his own mouth, even, he agreed, you know, confessed that he deserved the death. But the Lord's mercy, hallelujah. His grace, you know, when you are condemned, my goodness. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Redemption, when it seems that is all is far too late. It's never too late with God, but that's what it seems looking out from the outside. We thought it was too late for that thief on the cross. But his ways are not our ways. And his thoughts are not our thoughts. That's why the Lord said in Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6 that, look, it's not by power. I mean, it's not by might, it's not by power, it's but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Because his ways are different than our ways. And let me read to you the song of Anna, you know, when she would finally get a breakthrough. For many years she had been barren and not able to have a baby. But, you know, here's how she finally sang. Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoiceth in the Lord. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 1. And my horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over my enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none besides thee. Neither is there any rock like our God. There is none holy as the Lord. Talk no more so exceedingly proudly. Let not arrogance come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. Now listen to how she put all these paradoxes out there. The bows of the mighty men are broken. I mean, those who are, think that they got the strength, they got the advantage, say they are broken. You know, but those that were fallen are now guarded with strength. Because the ways of the Lord are not the ways that we think. You know, they that were full, well, they ended up begging for bread. They were willing to, you know, walk all day long just to get a little piece of bread. But they started out being full. And they that were hungry, now their hunger is gone. The Lord even take this barren, glory to God, giving her seven. And she that had many children is now wax weeble. I mean, the Lord does all these things. The Lord kill it, make it alive, bring it down to the grave and bring it up. The Lord make it poor and make it rich. He bring it low and lift it up. Now, the Lord raised the poor out of the dust. That's right. Poor people, normally we, you know, walk all over them and so forth. But this woman said, well, the Lord raised up the poor out of the dust. Lifted up the beggar from the dunghill to set them among princes, to make them inherit the throne of glory. Because the ways of the Lord are different from our ways. Now, what are the kinds of thoughts that the Lord has towards us? Well, Jeremiah 29:11 is a favorite of most people, you know. And the Lord said, look, I know the thoughts. You know, in our head, sometimes there are evil thoughts. You know, there are some people that have evil thoughts. They're always thinking some evil is going to happen to them. They're going to get into some accident. Some bad things going to happen to them. They're going to fall sick. You know, so I mean, people just think evil in their heads sometimes. And I don't know why. Well, I think I actually know why. You know, because they're not following instructions in righteousness. God's instruction is given to us in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. He said, don't let your thoughts get away from you. Don't let you just deal in random thoughts. Take control of your thoughts and channel your thoughts in these directions. You know, these are the things you should think about. If there's anything that is worthy of praise, if there's anything that is full of virtue, if there's anything that is honest, if there's anything that is of good report, you know, these are the things that you should think about. Channel your thoughts and don't let your thoughts wander and say, well, maybe I'm going to fall sick. Maybe I will not recover from this sickness. Maybe I will die. You know, I know people have all these thoughts. Job had these thoughts. You know, Job chapter 3, verse 25 will tell you, he harbored these thoughts in his heart. You know, he said, the thing that I greatly feared has come upon me. Well, you know, the whole time he was afraid and something evil may happen to my children. You know, maybe this and that, you know, and so forth. He was constantly living in that state. You know, those are your thoughts. But God's thoughts towards you are for peace and for good and not for evil. And God will give you an expected end from his own perspective. Remember, it's already finished with the Lord before he even started. Now, don't give in to the temptation to voice out these negative thoughts, because those are not God's thoughts. Any thoughts in your head that are not for peace and for good, they're not God's thoughts. The thoughts that God had towards you are for peace and for good. You know, not for evil. Never for evil. Hallelujah. Now, evil thoughts will come to anybody. You can't really prevent it. All you can do is, you know, whether you are going to dwell on it or not. The Lord himself was subject to thoughts from the devil. You know, the devil brought thoughts to, he said, look, you are the son of God, aren't you? Well, jump down over here, you know, and show it. You know, or do this and do that. You know, these thoughts can come into your mind, you know. And, well, you know, why don't you, you know, the devil will use even the voices of people to bring thoughts. You know, you don't have to go through with that, you know, and all of that. You know, what are you doing up there on the cross? You, after all, you call yourself the healer. Save yourself, heal yourself. You know, any negative thoughts can come, either from what we are hearing externally or even from inside. But don't dwell with it. You know, dispatch it right away. You know, you can't prevent the birds from flying over your head. There's nothing you can do about it. You know, but you can most certainly prevent them from landing on your head. You know, they're not going to land. They can do anything they want, but they're not going to land on my head. These thoughts can come, but they're not going to fester in my mind, because the thoughts of the Lord towards me are good and not evil. When we arm ourselves with this very simple, basic, fundamental concept, then we can be confident every day that the lines are falling onto us in pleasant places. It's only good things. I have a goodly heritage because, I'm a child of the King and his thoughts towards me are good. I'm not going to think any evil and I'm not going to see any evil. Praise the Lord. Don't think evil in your heart, especially towards yourself or towards anybody too. You know, because the way that God's thinking it is different. Now, let me wrap this up by saying that, look, even in the things that we are believing for ourselves that the Lord will give to us, even as we, you know, go through these series of Emerge lessons that we've been encouraging ourselves with, here's one of my favorite scriptures on that topic. Proverbs chapter 3, and let's read verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. Because look, your understanding may fail you. Your thoughts may fail you. God's thoughts are not always our thoughts. You know, in all your ways, acknowledge him. You know, because you know, do you know how we think of things? You know, we always think that, look, and it's a good thing. You know, for us to, you know, strive and strive and strive and strive, you know, not to make ends meet. Well, it's a good thing for us, not like that, but I mean, it's a good thing for us to be hardworking. It's not good for anybody to be lazy. But the Bible says, you know, go to the ants in Proverbs chapter 6, see how they work hard. So it's a good thing for us to work hard. But sometimes we think that it is by our working hard, and it is by our piling up many jobs that's how God's going to do it. So the way that God does it is can be completely different. His thoughts are not necessarily our thoughts. His ways are not necessarily our ways. You know, but would you learn his ways? Would you like to learn his ways? Then let's pray the simple prayer. Teach me thy ways, O Lord. That's right. You know, our ways do not have to be contrary to God's ways. We can ask him to teach us his ways. You know, the reason our ways are contrary is because we walk in the flesh. If you walk in the spirit, your ways will line up with God's ways. Because, you know, he will guide you and teach you and lead you into all truth. You know, the same thing with our thoughts. All these things I said before is because we walk in the flesh. But when you walk in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit will show you things to come. When he shows you things to come, John chapter 16 and verse 13, when he shows you things to come, you can align with that. Things to come are his thoughts. What does God want to do for you? Hallelujah. You know, he will show you things to come. If you are sick right now, the Holy Spirit will show you that you're already healed. That's things to come. And then you can align yourself with that and begin to think like God thinks. Hallelujah. You know, so we don't need to remain in the place forever where our thoughts are different from God's thoughts. We don't need to stay in the place forever where our ways are different from his ways. Contrary wise, we need our ways to be his ways. And we need our thoughts to be his thoughts. Well, Paul put it this way. He said, look, we have the mind of Christ. You know, now, well, yeah, you know, but we're not functioning in the mind of Christ. It's like we're called believers, but most of the time we don't believe anything. You know, so what you have to, it's a training. We have to train ourselves to bring every thought into the obedience. That's right. You bring the thoughts into obedience. Don't let your thought go this way and that way. Bring it into captivity, the obedience of the word of God. You know, and let your thoughts line up with God's thoughts. You can do it. And let your ways line up with God's ways. You start by saying, Lord, teach me thy ways. Cleanse my thoughts, O Lord. Let them be like yours. You know, so I'm thinking it's this way. Well, you may already know it's some other way. Show me those ways and show me thy thoughts. And inspire the thought of the Lord in my heart. It's called the inspiration of the Almighty. And when we align with him that way, knowing that his ways are higher, his thoughts are different and higher, then, my goodness, we can begin to function like he does. So, ladies and gentlemen, as we are trusting and believing the Lord for breakthroughs on every side, for open doors and so forth, let's remember that the way that he can bring it to pass may be different than the way that you were thinking, you know, and his ways of how he's going to go about it, you should go about it, may be different than what you were thinking or even the way that you are being trained or taught. So that's why we must pray for the Lord to show us his ways. Now I'm going to pray over the room right now and say, Lord, show us thy ways, O God. The Bible said the Lord showed, you know, Moses his ways and his acts to the people. Well, the other people, they were not praying for God's ways, you know, but Moses was praying, Lord, show me your ways, you know, guide me. The others just wanted to see his power. Well, they saw the power, but they soon forgot, but they don't know the ways of God. If we don't know the ways of God, you'll see his power, but you'll soon forget. You know, what we need is to understand his ways. And so, Father, we pray that you will give us understanding. Teach us thy ways, O God. Circumcise our hearts that our minds will be brought into subjection to think the thoughts that God has toward us. That's right. Think like God thinks. You know, see like God sees. Glory to God. We pray, Lord, that you give us understanding. Sometimes that can be an incredible responsibility to see like God sees, because sometimes you may begin to see the hurt in people. You may not be able to bear it, but, you know, the Lord will give grace. Hallelujah. Now, I pray that the Lord will give us grace and understanding, and that he will teach us his ways. And as we go through the end of this year into the next, great things that the Lord in store for us. It's not going to come by what we necessarily think or how we necessarily think. They're going to happen according to the ways of the Lord. Because his ways, Bible say, his ways in the whirlwind. You know, you don't know what the Lord is doing. You know, he can do things any which way he wants. But at the end of the day, we know that his thoughts towards us are for good, not for evil, and to give us an expected end. The Lord bless everyone today and every day as we go through this season and up through the next year. Let's keep our heads up, knowing that he's got good things in store for us. Something good is going to happen to me today. God, Jesus of Nazareth, there's a song we used to sing like that, is passing my way. Always think good. Don't think evil. Never think that, oh, some evil is going to happen to me. Because as a man thinketh, so he is in his heart. Now, don't think evil, and then you will see no evil. Don't speak any evil. You will hear no evil either. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Thank you, Father, for this lesson. May it, you know, in its simplicity, enter into our hearts and recognize The ways of the Lord are different than ours. His thoughts are higher than ours. Help us to learn your ways and also to align ourselves with the ways of the Lord and his thoughts in Jesus' name. And many things that you have taught us. Whereas Jesus said, these are your ways, this is how you used to do them, but here are my ways, this is how you should do them. Your ways are to hate your enemies, he said. Well, my way is to love your enemies. Your way is to hold bitterness in your heart. My way is for you to forgive those that trespass against you. And learn, you know, your ways are to be worried every day about what shall we eat, what shall we drink, wherewith I shall we be clothed. Those are your ways. But my ways are that you should seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Because your heavenly Father already knows that you have need of these things. And we can go on and on. All the contrast between the ways that we would normally do things, but the ways that Jesus called out. Different ways. The way our ways are for us to trust in the arm of flesh. God's way is for us to trust in the Lord with all our heart. Hallelujah. You know, our ways are for us to look after the outward appearance of things. But God's way is to search the heart of man. You know, Samuel himself, the great prophet, he was looking after the appearance of things. Eliab and all the handsome, tall, and, you know, hefty ones came before him one by one. Those were the ways of man. Surely this is the Lord's anointed, because he's tall, he's strong, he's already trained, you know, and so forth. Surely he's the Lord's anointed. But those were not God's ways. God said, no, I have rejected him. You know, God's ways were different. Praise the Lord. And sometimes his way is to take that which is despised and rejected. That may be his very choice. For God will choose the base things of this world to confound the mighty. Teach us these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.